Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been discussing scriptural marriage and family life. And this is of great concern to many of us because we recognize that in our day, the scriptures have not been the basis for most family life. Even among Christians, sometimes it is possible to ignore what the Bible teaches about marriage and family life and to go our own ways, forming our own opinions and setting our own standards. I've tried to emphasize in this entire series of messages that at every stage of our lives, we're to be directed and guided by the Word of God. And this is important for us to understand because we as Christians depend entirely upon the Word of God. Whether it's for salvation, whether it's for the Christian life, or whether it's the way we live our lives in various areas of life. For instance, in salvation, there are many different ideas about how a person can be accepted by God, how a person can be saved from his sins. But according to the Scriptures, salvation comes only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through church, it's not through some ceremony in the church, it's not through any other person to whom we might direct our attention, but it's only through the Lord Jesus himself. The same is true in the Christian life. The Bible is not legalistic with us, but the Bible does lay down standards for the Christian life. And so as we've gone through this series on marriage and family life, we've tried to concentrate upon what the Word of God itself has to say. In our last several messages, we discussed the influence of older people on the new generations. I'm a grandfather myself. My wife is a great-grandmother. And as we have talked together, we recognize our responsibility before God to have an influence and an impact on the lives of the younger people in the new generations. I want to draw several conclusions today concerning the place of older people in the life of the younger generations. We discussed people from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. We also discussed the importance of finishing out our lives with marriages that are happy and honorable to God. In other words, that are approved by God in every way. But I want to draw a few conclusions today, and then we're going to be moving on to several other things which have to do with concluding this series of messages. The first thing we learn about biblical examples of men and women who left an impact on the younger generations is that these men and women were not perfect. None of us would claim to be perfect. We recognize that many times in our lives we often will fail. Nevertheless, God takes godly men and women and he uses them to make an impact on the lives of others. We acknowledge, of course, where we do fail. If we sin daily, we confess our sins before God. And yet in the lives of these people, every one of whom failed in some way, in the lives of these people, God mightily used them in their day both to teach and to be an example to the new generations to follow. In other words, David has come down to us as a mighty example of faith and a man who followed God with all his heart. Moses has come down to us in the same way. Samuel, the great prophet of Israel, in a time of spiritual decline, comes down to us, a man who is a man of God before God. As we submit to the Lord for him to work in our lives today, we also can leave behind the testimony of faithful lives and leave behind a legacy of accomplishing things for God. The younger generation needs this. The younger generation needs to turn from its ways many times and to follow the ways of fathers and mothers who were godly or grandparents who were godly and who loved the Lord Jesus with all their hearts. Now, another thing I want to notice is that these examples we've used from the Old and the New Testaments also tell us that we do not have to become famous or to be especially honored by society or the church in order to be used by God. Many times people today who are the greatest examples to the younger generation are people who never became famous at all. Many of you can remember your own father, your own mother. Perhaps they were very humble people. People who never became famous, they were never recognized by society itself, but nevertheless, they greatly influenced your lives. And of course, this is our prayer as we live for God today. Most of those who influence the new generations, they do so in their own homes and in their own families and are mostly unknown. And our prayer is that wherever God uses us, that we may not shame the name of the Lord Jesus. Rather, we will bring great honor to Him in our lives. And we set an example for our children and for others, and then they themselves go forth to serve the Lord. Another thing we notice about those of the older generations, that is that no matter how old or how incapacitated we might be in our old age, we still have a solemn responsibility before God to spiritually protect our testimonies and to extend our influence to these younger generations. Now, to what am I referring? I'm simply saying some of you may feel you're past the years where God would expect anything of you. This is a mistake we very often make. We come to the conclusion that because we reach a certain age, therefore we are retired. We're retired, of course, in society from work responsibilities, but it also is a temptation to us to feel that we can retire from responsibilities before God. I am aware of the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, where the Apostle Paul says, "I must finish the course. I must finish the course." I wonder if you've ever thought about that expression by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had finished his third missionary journey. He was an older man. He had already done so much for God. There must have been the temptation before him to somehow leave the work and let the younger generation take over. But the Apostle Paul had a deep conviction from God he was not finished. He was not leaving a testimony behind to the younger generations, but he also was continuing what God had given him to do in his life. And so he had plans for his life. Romans chapter 15, written the same year when Paul made that statement about finishing the course, Romans 15 tells us of his plans to go to Rome and beyond Rome, even to Spain itself, with the gospel. And what I'm trying to say is that you may be incapacitated, and I sympathize with that. You may be flat on your back in a bed, suffering from some disease or some sickness. And yet, you can still pray. You can still be an example to a younger generation. And I would encourage you to go on with the Lord. Another thing I want to note is that the examples of these people also suggest to us that it's possible to live faithfully for God throughout our entire lives. And this is very important for us to understand. There are people who live their lives for God and then in their older years will somehow fail God and bring shame to the name of Jesus. This does not need to be. We can live faithfully for God with the help of God, of course, in our lives. We can live faithfully for God throughout our entire lifetimes. There doesn't need to be a time when we will fail. No matter how young or how old we might be, there does not need to be a time when we will fail. I think you see in the scriptures, and even in some of the examples I might have left with you, that some of these men did fail in their later years. But it doesn't need to be this way. We Christians have the Holy Spirit living in our lives. How wonderful this is. He lives in our lives because when we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we were born again by the Spirit of God, and He came to indwell us. And therefore, throughout our lifetimes, He's going to always be in our lives. He will always be there strengthening us, leading us on, giving us wisdom in how to live our lives, and doing everything in our lives that needs to be done to sustain us. And so it is possible to live faithfully for God to the very end. We don't need to fail. We don't need to excuse ourselves if we do fail. Because when we excuse ourselves, we're only recognizing that our own failures, but we're also failing to recognize that God is able to keep us. Another thing I also want to say, that is, it's possible when people come to the older years of their lives, they need to take a fresh look at God's desires for them. I believe in a spirit of renewal, a spirit of revival, and I believe revival can come at any point in our lives. I remember when I was just a young teenager, 16 years of age, the day that I went forward with my brother to dedicate my life to the Lord. But I have learned in the Christian life, and I've learned it even until this day and beyond this day, I trust. I have learned that God always wants me to be renewed and revived, even daily to be renewed and revived. Now suppose, for instance, someone is listening to this program and they feel in their lives that they have failed God. They have just not faithfully followed God as they should have. It is possible to go back now to God and to be renewed in your relationship with Him, to be renewed in your commitment to Him, your dedication to Him, and to have God renew in your lives the purposes that He still has for you. As you have life and breath still, God still has purposes for your life. And we need to find these out from God. So go back to God in your own life and ask God, where am I now in my Christian life? I am older, but where am I now in my Christian life? And what further purpose do you have for my life? How much longer are you going to use me? And as long as I live, I want to fulfill your purposes in my life. Therefore, show me your purposes for my life. Now, if we are willing to take such a step, God can renew our lives, can bring us back to fresh devotion, fresh love for Him, and God in every way can use our lives, maybe in greater ways than He's ever used them before. And I want to emphasize this particular thing before I go on, and that is that sometimes we feel that the best is behind us. No, in many of your lives, the best could still be before you. God could still accomplish greater things in your lives at this point in your life than He's ever accomplished before, if you're willing for Him to do this. And so let's go back to God, and let's take the steps that God would suggest to us. God can make our lives potentially as fruitful as they were in the younger days, or even more fruitful than they were. Finally, I want to say something concerning churches that have older people. Many times in churches, especially in today's contemporary churches, the older people are somewhat set aside. In other words, people feel, well, these older people have served their purpose, now a new generation has taken over, and we just don't need the older people as much anymore in the life of the church. I think this is a tremendous mistake. I'm not just defending older people because I am older myself, and I've confessed to you that I'm old enough to be the grandfather of many of you. But I want to defend older people because God has a purpose for them until the very day they face the Lord. And churches very often ignore this. Older people, for instance, can be prayer warriors. Older people can lead Bible study groups. Older people can be used in visitation. Many times when people have retired, for instance, they can go out on visitation now in the visitation ministry of the church. They can reach younger people with the gospel, with the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They can in every way enhance the ministry of the church. Many times, even in church staff, the pastor will call an older man to stand with him as an advisor, as a counselor. This man can actually be a part of the staff. He may not be a paid member of the staff, but he can stand with the pastor in every way, as a counselor and as an encourager, and even as one who fulfills various responsibilities. Older people can still be deacons in a church. They can still be Sunday school teachers. They could work with Awana programs. They could work with other youth programs in the church. And so it is a mistake for churches to assume that just because people are older, they're not needed anymore. Now the danger is today, one side of the danger might be, let me put it this way, first of all, we might ignore the younger generation and not do enough for them and not give them enough responsibility. But the other danger might be that we put too much responsibility upon the younger generation and ignore the older generation. The older generation is the one with experience. The older generation learns from their experiences. They have much to share with the younger generation. And so it is possible to find a balance between the two. Even in a very contemporary church, it's possible to find a balance between the two. One man said, "I lost hundreds, but I gained thousands." What was he saying? He was not just speaking of results that he got from the younger generation, but he was speaking of the fact that he put aside the older generation and he turned to the younger generation. And this, of course, is what I'm trying to emphasize. This is a mistake. So churches need to realize that the older people are still valuable to the church. They're the prayer warriors. They're the possible teachers, the ones who can influence the younger generations. And I want to leave with you today these few conclusions about the biblical examples of older people. These people in the Bible were influence on the coming generations. And we today have the same possibility as older people if we're willing to be the men and women of God that God wants us to be. It does require, of course, that until the very end of our lives we're walking close with the Lord Jesus. It does require that to the end of our lives we have a purpose in life, and that is to live out our lives to the glory of the Lord Jesus, to determine that in no way will we ever bring shame to His name, but we're going to finish out our lives until the very day we pass into eternity. We're going to finish out our lives for His praise and for His glory. It also determines that we will use every means possible to carry out His purposes in our lives. In other words, that we will take every step that needs to be taken in order that His purposes will be fulfilled in our lives. And so my prayer for each of you today, whether you're from the younger or from the older generation, is that you might in every way be what God wants you to be, and you might do everything God wants you to do. And so I want to leave this as an encouragement, especially to the older people who may be listening. Let God use your lives. Let Him renew your life. And may you be everything that God wants you to be. May the Lord bless you, each one.